Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
So this morning I had a quote that I wanted to put up on the overhead, and I don't know who authored this quote, but it says this: a house is made of bricks and beams. A home is made of hopes and dreams. A home is made of hopes and dreams. And the operative word there is home. We've been doing a series on family, the importance of family. The Bible talks about family, family, family. It started with the starts and finishes and always has been a family in heaven. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it wasn't enough. He wanted an expression on earth. Family, more family. So we have been for many weeks now going through a series on family. And this morning I've done part three this morning on fathers and fathers. If you don't know me, if you're new, my name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row. We have the privilege of serving this community, and we love this church. We love it, we love it, we love it. And if you don't know us, we value family in this house. It is so important, and everyone has a place. The Lord puts the isolated inside of family. And so there are people who are single in this family, and they have as much place as any couple or children or what. It's family, and it's comprised of generations, and not just the young people, not just the older, seasoned people, but it's everything in between. And this morning I want to talk again on fathers and fathering. And this morning's message, I'm just going to say right up front, it's a little different from what you would normally hear from me. That's not a disclaimer. I'm just saying. It's a little bit different. And I am going to read. I have multiple scriptures. In this church, we value the Word of God. We value the Bible. We all have opinions. There's lots of books. There's no end of books that we can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and get opinions on everything under the sun. Chemistry, physics, art, music, parenting. And yet, I still find this is our plumb line. Yep. This is the final say on everything. No, it does not address television. But it does talk about how I spend my time. This is timeless Word of God. So I'm going to read from it this morning. I'll be reading from the NIV version. So you won't see the verses necessarily up on the overhead, but if you can follow along with me, at least in mind, or if you have your electronics or your paper Bibles, Randy, you can follow along. 1 Samuel 16, and I want to speak about King David this morning. King David, and I want to talk about King David's family. Like I said, it's going to be a different message than what you would normally hear from me this morning, but I just found Holy Spirit just speaking to me over, over, and over again. Just communicate this. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me communicate your heart this morning. Help us to hear. Father, we're still learners. We want to grow. We want to change. We want to step into who you've called us to be. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help us in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 to 13. 1 Samuel 16, 1. Same chapter, 6 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel as a prophet, how long will you mourn for King Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. And when they arrived, Samuel said to Eliab, and thought, this is one of the sons of Jesse. When they arrived, Samuel said to Eliab, one of the sons, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. There's an encouraging word, Eliab. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before the Lord. But Samuel said to them, the Lord has not chosen any of these. So Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Kind of like you, Greg. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah. Years went by. David had been anointed by the prophet, not a prophet, the prophet in Israel. It's going to happen, David. Then years go by. And so many of us can relate to that. God said, and then years go by. And we can think, what? Hey, you said. And God's word is true. He has this thing called timing that doesn't always link up with my timing. Later in David's life, a few years, David is now on the run. King Saul understands that David is the replacement, and the current king Saul is trying to now kill David, and David has to run and flee his life, and he escapes to a cave called Adullam, and some people join him. And I read this verse last week as well. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. And the word says this, David left Gath, which is an area, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. And David became their commander. Hoo-hoo! You got problems? I'll take you. You got a nasty attitude? Join the team. You owe people a ton of money you can't pay back? Come on! We want you. We're going to have offerings. David became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Early days for David. He's still not yet on the throne, but this is the Lord's training ground for him, just like us. And as I said last week, so often life does not turn out like what we thought. And it's so easy in our limitation, in our impatience, in our exuberance and frustration. How many times have I said, maybe how many times have you said, Lord, you said, how can this be? What is going on? 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 4. 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 4. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, we are your own flesh and blood. And the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on the military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. And when all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. Years have gone by now. David was anointed as a teenager to be king. Finally, it's happened at Hebron. He's 30 years old, still a young man from some people's perspective. And he reigned for 40 years. 1 Chronicles 14, 17 says this. 1 Chronicles 14, 17. So David's fame spread throughout every land. And the Lord made all the nations fear him. David didn't have a blip of success. David wasn't a flash in the pan. David wasn't the new kid on the block. And he just, boop, where'd that guy go? All the nations feared David. He was famous throughout the land and every land. Foreign nations knew about King David. David was the man. And finally, he's king. David was amazing. Even in the book of Acts, chapter 13, speaking in hindsight, historically, from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 22 and verses 36. In Acts 13, looking at David's life hundreds of years later, this is what the Bible says about David. After removing Saul, he, God, made David their king. And God testified concerning him, David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David has been in glory now for hundreds of years. In retrospect, the Bible is commenting on David's life. In the Bible's perspective, heaven's perspective, Jesus' perspective is, he's a man after my own heart. Hundreds of years after he's gone. And he will do everything I want him to do. Verse 36, same chapter, Acts 13. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors. David served the purpose of God in his generation. And you read about David, he's one of many people's favorite Bible characters, favorite Bible heroes. And he says, who's your favorite guy? Jesus. All right, after Jesus, with Jesus. Who else? I love David. He killed giants. He was amazing. And he is, and it was. He was a true hero. And yet this man was a husband. We're not going to comment on that this morning. He was a husband. If you don't know what I mean, it's okay. We can talk later. He had more than one wife. Let's just say it. And David had many, many children. Lots of children. Loads of children. And the Bible, because the Bible is so beautiful, so amazing, what I love about the Bible, and I love that my name is not mentioned in it. My story is not mentioned in it. Thank you, Jesus. One of the beautiful things about the Word of God is it talks about the warts and the pimples and the wrinkles. Because it's reality and it's people's lives. And it talks about people's flaws and their limitations and their failures. Not just, life isn't, if I can say this, life isn't just a bunch of success stories for us. Anybody ever in this room ever have a challenge with their attitude? I'd have two hands up, but one hand's on the Bible. Anybody have some attitude problems? I see those hands. Anybody ever, we're just going to call it nice. We're going to antiseptic this one. Anybody ever make some mistakes? Let's not call it like it is. Let's just say we've made some mistakes. Some failures. We've fallen short of the glory of God. Bottom line, we ain't perfect. And the Bible, because it's reality, talks about people's imperfections. And I am so grateful and thankful for that, because I could think David's perfect. I could think Joseph was perfect. I could think the Apostle Paul was perfect. But it talks about personalities and problems and challenges. And this morning, briefly, we're going to look at King David. And we have already looked at the Bible after he's dead and gone. He's a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says about him. Centuries after he's gone, right? He served the purposes of God in his generation, right? He is a great man. But he's a man. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. This is a tragic account of two of David's sons. I'm about to read briefly, jumping, not reading straight through because we don't have time. A tragic account of two of David's sons. Their names are Amnon, A-M-N-O-N, Amnon, and Absalom. One of those names many of us will be familiar with. Amnon and Absalom, two of David's sons. And one daughter of David. Her name is Tamar. Two sons, one daughter, Tamar. 2 Samuel 13:1, the Bible says this. In the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, his half-sister, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. For time, I'm just going to read on. 2 Samuel chapter 13, same chapter. 2 Samuel 13, verses 14 through 15. The Bible says this. This is speaking of Amnon. But Amnon would not listen to her, his sister, Tamar. But Amnon would not listen to Tamar, and being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. And Amnon said, "Get up and go." Same chapter, verse 20 to 22. Tamar's sister Absalom said to her, "Has that Amnon, your brother, been with you? Be quiet for now, my sister. He's your brother. Don't take this thing to heart." And Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman. And here's Dad. Here's Dad. Here's Dad. When King David heard about all this, he was furious. And Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. And he hated Amnon. Absalom hated Amnon, his brother, because he had disgraced his sister Tamar, half-sister. What was Father's response to this crime, this horrific, unimaginable crime? What was Dad's response? He got mad. That's it. He got mad. That was David's response as a dad. He got mad. Second Samuel 15, reading on. 15, the tragedy continues to grow because Dad didn't take care of business at home. Dad didn't get involved. Dad didn't do anything but get angry. 2 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 6. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses, and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road. I left a bit out. Actually, it was on purpose. Dad didn't do anything about the sin at home. And so Absalom, the son, killed his brother because Dad didn't do anything. And injustice was allowed. And so the son, one son, said, "If Dad's not going to do anything at home, I'll take matters into my own hands." And Absalom killed his brother, Amnon. Again, Dad got mad, and Absalom fled and went outside. And after a while, David felt bad because he missed his son, Absalom. Amnon's dead, been murdered. And now Absalom is away. And David's missing one of his sons. He's missing Absalom. And so he lets Absalom come home. 2 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 6. Just real quick. Here's what the Bible doesn't allow me to do. This is what happened when the Bible doesn't say what happened. It doesn't allow me past conjecture, past thought, past suspicion, past a maybe. The Bible doesn't allow me to say, this is what David should have done, or this is what David did. I really think he said this. We don't know what he said. We do know the Bible says he got angry, and that was it. That's all we know. But I'm just going to say something as a possibility. Everybody say possibility. Possibility. It's just possible. Before this whole horrific scenario with Amnon, Tamar, and Absalom, before all that, something had happened before. David had a problem with a woman named Bathsheba. And David murdered a man, had a man murdered named Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. This all happened before Absalom and Amnon. But this event happened in King David's life. And God showed him mercy and didn't remove him as king. But David, I think, was really aware what it's like to violate a woman. And then he murdered himself, a person, had a man murdered in Uriah. David had the same indiscretion in his life. Same. And then he sees it happen in his own family. I wonder if there's ever consequences for my sin. Not saying he deserved it, because all I know is this happened with David, and then this happened in his own house. And I wonder why David was seemingly soft on his son. I wonder why David was so soft at home with Amnon and his sin. Maybe because he had experienced something himself personally. And I just want to say, the Bible is the Bible, and God's ways are God's ways. And it doesn't make any difference what I've experienced. If I've had tough times in an area of my life, if I don't take care of home and listen to what God says and the Word of God, things don't go away, but they do grow and can grow. And I don't know why David didn't do anything besides get angry with his son. I don't know. Bible doesn't allow me. All I know is there was a previous experience, and David chose not to deal with it. And the problem went like this, and this, and this, now in his own household with his own children. So the admonition, the sobering thought is this for me and you. I wonder what's at home that I need to take care of. I wonder what's at home that I need to sort out that's been going on in my own house. And if I can make it even more personal, I wonder what's going on in my heart that I've tolerated too long. That maybe I need to do business on the inside with some things. Because one thing, if you're a medical person or medical people, infection, untreated, infection can go septic. And when things go septic, it brings death. Things need to get dealt with. And so instead of pointing the finger at everyone else at home, oh, it's that woman you gave me, Adam and Eve. It's that woman you gave me. I have found in my limited years, the Lord's talking to me, not her, not him. The Lord's talking to me. What's in my life that I need to deal with? So it doesn't spread and open up to other people. What do I need to deal with? And as a father, David had an opportunity to deal with something in his house. And seemingly, apparently, David didn't deal with it other than get mad about it. And it got worse. And other people died. And it was ultimately David was chased out of his own home by Absalom, if you know the story. It got frighteningly worse. And a war happened where hundreds, if not thousands, of people died between Absalom and his dad. Why? Because David didn't deal with the issue at home, which ultimately was an issue of his own heart. So as a father, father, it matters, if I can say this, it matters about home. And I'll say this, we can have success in our career, we can have success at school, we can have a great 401k, we can have a great retirement plan, we can get all kinds of awards at work and letters after our name, whether it's masters and PhDs and all those things. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work at home, does it really work? Because when we stand before Jesus, it's the issues of the heart. I don't think the Lord's going to be impressed with my master's degree that I never got. I thought about it. I really did. I don't think Jesus is going to be impressed with my credentials. I don't think Jesus is going to be impressed with my savings account. I don't think Jesus is going to be impressed by much. The Bible already said, I don't look at the external. I look at the heart. That's what God said about David initially. Some matters are. So my question for me is, how is home going? How's home going? Doesn't make any difference what I have. Two cars, fancy cars, beautiful house, amazing wife, great, wonderful. Those things are a huge blessing. But at the end of the day, it comes down to matters of the heart and home. I can look wonderful up front. But I'm not going to be judged how I looked up front. What happened at home, and was I taking care of business at home? Knowing we all fail, knowing we all fall short, knowing we none of us measure up to our dreams and our aspirations. But what's happening at home? GBH, great, but how? I'm going to go quickly through this just because of time, and I appreciate your patience. Just a couple of quick points. Number one, and it goes to what was said earlier. Can't remember who. I think it was Beth. About hawk. The hawk is this powerful, powerful creature made by God. And it was being harassed by little tiny sparrows. And I see it all the time. And I'm watching this hawk fly away. Hawk, turn around. Devour the sparrow. Show it who's boss. And yet the hawk just kind of always flies away. And for us to remember, in spite of where I'm at, all my inconsistencies, all my failures, where my kids aren't, stop and remember you're anointed. And you're created in the image of God, and you're a powerful human being that the devil is scared to death of. Amen. That I would wake up and realize who I really am. With all my imperfections, with all my attitudes, the devil is scared to death. I'm going to wake up and realize right now, as I am, he's afraid of me. That I would just start believing who I really am. The sparrows will freak out when I wake up to God's anointing, as I am. We are called to be powerful world changers, and we are. Help me, Jesus, to understand the intrinsic worth of what you've done inside of me. Second thing, David, ask for help. Ask for help. Tom, don't be arrogant. Don't be self-sufficient. If it's not working, ask for help. We're not perfect. Ask for help. I wonder how many little buddies, friends that hawk has. Hawks, come in. Let's clear out these sparrows in my life. Ask for help. Don't isolate yourself. Be incredibly vulnerable. Meet with the right people, powerful people, people who are saying what God is saying, who can build you up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Folks, we cannot do it on our own. The best thing we can do is be transparent. I need help. I'm struggling. As we saw this week and weekend, if a family's struggling, there are people who will come around you and support you and help you. That's called family. And so many people go without help because they don't ever say, I'm struggling. And it takes transparency. It takes humility. And it says, I'm not doing great. Can you help me? Third thing, great but how. If you're new here, great but how. It's like, great, but what do I do? What do I do? Third thing. First is ask for help. First is remember you're powerful. You don't feel it, but you are. Second, ask for help. Third thing is consider joining. Consider joining. In this family, there's a ton of great things out there, but just in this family, there's help. Can I encourage you, whether you feel like you're struggling or not, join Prayer for Prodigals. It's a group of people praying for their children. If you ever feel arrogant, just come talk to some people about their kids. It's a very humbling experience. Join Prayer for Prodigals. Join Rooted in Hope. It's another group that we have here. Just people who have challenges in their life. And then we support and we stand with one another. Come on Thursday nights for Kingdom Life. Get the Word of God in you. Learn, grow. The time for having weapons is not in the middle of the battle. Get the weapons before the battle. Come to Kingdom Life on Thursday night. Read our Bibles. And the last and the fourth thing, in conclusion, don't worry about being perfect. You're not. I'm not perfect. David was not perfect, and yet God didn't exclude him, eliminate him, and trash talk him years after his life. Why? Because David came back to center with a soft heart. Yes, I've had failure and failure. Not everything's right at home. My kids are a mess. But you know what? I love Jesus. And he came back in his heart, center. I need to deal with me. But I love God. No, you're not perfect. Can we just don't beat yourself up? Get back to center. Get back to home, which means you and Jesus. What do I do? You pray a lot. What do I do? Ask for forgiveness a lot. What do I do? You reach out to others around you a lot. Fourth, you keep changing a lot. You're not perfect. We know that. Stop beating yourself up. Let's just get back to center at home and deal with this. What's happening in here that needs to change? And now is a great day to change. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that you're kind enough, loving enough to put stories about people, men, amazing people like King David, who's so amazing, so powerful, so flawed, and yet you didn't exclude him because of his failures. You didn't kick him out because he was humble enough to say, Father, forgive me. I did it. I'm the one. And Father, help us to grow. Help us to change. Help us to move forward. Help us to not disqualify ourselves when you qualify us. Father, I pray for any of us, any of me, to deal with my own stuff at home before it gets worse. Before it gets worse. I want to deal with me right now. And stop making room for that thing that's eating my lunch. I need to deal with it according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, people around me. I've proven I can't do it alone. I need help, and I'm going to deal with it now. I thank you for this family. I thank you for the amazing people in this family, Lord. You would cause us to continue to change from glory to glory, to continue to move forward. We press through walls that have kept us too small for too long. Help us. We have a prayer team here. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. You may want to come and just say, hey, I'm struggling. I don't want to tell you what I'm struggling with, but I'm struggling. Can you pray for me? You may want to tell the prayer team, hey, it's that Tom. He is driving me crazy. It's him. He's the problem. Everyone will say amen. People want to stand with you. We want to pray with you and encourage you. But can I encourage you, like David, let's be wise with what's happening at home.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.